Praise the Lord. Microphone's on. Good morning. It is a beautiful, absolutely beautiful sunny day here in northern Vermont. It is, today is what, the 18th? March 18th. It is 6 below. But it's sunny. It's pretty. Those of you in warmer climates, you're missing an absolutely wonderful day. There are geese all over the place. The ones that flew north and said, wait a minute, maybe we were a little too early. There's a lot of geese around up, just up the road from the church in different places. I want to talk this morning about a change perspective. We thought about this as we came over Wednesday night. Wednesday night we had a foot and a half of new snow. Something like that. So everything has a nice coating of fresh snow on it. The wind has blown it around, so it's packed in pretty good. As of yesterday, I've been in Vermont for 20 years. I moved up St. Patrick's Day of 1998 and made it this far. I got turned around at the Canadian border, and it became very, very obvious very quickly that this was where I was supposed to be. This being northern Vermont, not necessarily here at this church, though that came shortly after. But right after I came up, just a few days after I got here, we had a snowstorm. Snowstorm dropped probably, 15, 18 inches of snow. And I had never seen more than 2 inches of snow at one time. So I'm walking around town saying, this is great, this is wonderful, look what God sent to me. And the Vermonters looked at me like I'd lost my mind. And now 20 years later, as I was shoveling this 15, 18 inches of snow we had this week, I understand where they were coming from. So I want to talk about a change perspective, how things look at one time in our lives versus how they look at another time. And we want to start with 1 Corinthians 13, beginning with verse 8, where it says, love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. For now I know in part, but then I shall know, just as I also am known. Paul said, the things I know now is only part of the picture. And there's coming a time when I will know everything. I will know even as also I am known, as I also am known. There's the promise of a changed perspective. The picture on the front of the bulletin, for those of you at home enjoying the warmer weather, looks like a cork. And it's suspended, and you have two lights shining on it. So the one light shining from the back shows a shadow of a perfect circle. And the light showing from the other side shows what looks like a square. And it says, I don't have a copy of the picture in front of me, but it says something along the lines of, how you see things will depend on your perspective. So as we go through life, as we learn more and more, as we see more and more, our perspective on things will change. Ravi Zacharias tells a story about when his children were little, trying to tell them a story, and the youngest one had the sense of wonder much earlier in the story than the other two. So I don't remember exactly how it goes, something along the lines of telling a story about walking up to the door, and just the part, getting to the door was enough to thrill the youngest child, but the second child wasn't thrilled until you opened the door. And the third child wasn't thrilled until the older child wasn't thrilled until something appeared when you opened the door. You should listen to Robbie Zacharias. He tells the story very, very well. I get easily confused. But it talks about how we lose our sense of wonder. The more and more we know, and the more and more we are comfortable in the things that we're in the midst of, we lose a perspective. When I moved to Vermont 20 years ago, 15 inches of snow was absolutely fantastic. This is great! Now, I've already shoveled 3 times today. How many more times am I going to have to do this? We tend to lose perspective. So, it has been, we've had a very good sugaring season so far. Talked with one person, a husband and wife, and they'd already made over 500 gallons of syrup. Remember, it takes 40 gallons of sap to cook down to 1 gallon of syrup, and they had already made over 500 gallons of syrup. And now that the temperatures have dropped back down, and it's going to be another 4 or 5 days before we get up to the freezing mark, the whole cycle could start again. We could start seeing a whole bunch more sap. So don't be surprised if the cost of syrup goes down. I seem to remember last year a gallon of syrup was $40 or $45, and this year I've already seen it advertised for $35, so. What's that? Right. That's taxes. That's okay. Praise God. So having a changed perspective, looking at things through a different lens, the more we know and the more we understand, the easier it is to see things from a different perspective. In Job chapter 32, beginning with verse 6, says, "So Elihu, the son of Barachel the Buzite, answered and said, 'I am young in years, and you are very old. Therefore I was afraid and dared not declare my opinion to you. I said, age should speak, and the multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. Great men are not always wise, nor do the aged always understand justice.'" You know the story. Job is having a discussion with his two friends, and have been for quite a few years, or quite a few chapters rather. He's declaring his innocence and how God won't answer him. And two of his friends saying, "Come on, the problem is you're sinning and you just won't admit it." And they go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And finally the youngest one says, "Just because you're old doesn't mean you're wise." How's that for a scary thought? Just because we've experienced things doesn't mean we have the right perspective on things. Just because we've gone through different things in our life doesn't mean we have a full understanding. You've heard me talk from this pulpit about God working forgiveness in my heart. I have a confession for you. Everybody ready for this? 20 years ago, when I moved to Vermont, I thought I had been slighted by a local business owner. I thought I had been lied to, and maybe I was. And for 20 years, I've refused to do business with that person. And yesterday, God convicted me of it. Mm-hmm. 20 years. Because of the way I perceive something. I don't even know if he did what I thought he did. That's what it looked like to me. And I'll tell you what it was. I won't tell you who it was. Deb knows who it was. But I was looking for work when I first moved to town. And there was a person had an advertisement in that they were hiring. And when I went, they told me that it was a mistake. The person who put in the ad was wrong. They didn't need any help. And I happened to stop in the next day just to see them hire somebody, filling out the paperwork, hiring somebody. And I said, and I've said many times over the years, if they're not willing to be honest with me, they don't need my business. And here. I've stood in this pulpit. This is my 13th year pastoring here. And yesterday, God convicted me of a grudge that I hadn't even thought I'd held, hadn't even crossed my mind. What does it take for God to change our perspectives? Each and every one of us, we can each and every one of us stumble, each and every one of us fall, and each and every one just look past it. I had considered myself justified, and I'm not saying that the business was crippled because I didn't show up, but I was. Because I held on to a grudge. I held on to a perceived slight without ever addressing it and without ever laying it down. What does it take for us to change our perspective? What does it take for us to examine ourselves? We can do it in so many different ways, but there are always ways where we fall short of the glory of God. Each and every one of us, okay? Each and every one of us on the pulpit. I don't know about each and every one of y'all, but each and every, you know, we go through this life with our own perspective and our own understanding of how things are and what's going on, and we evaluate circumstances, we try to assign motives when we see something happening. And that's just part of being a human being. But sometimes we're wrong. And sometimes even when we're right, if we let it affect us, we're wrong. I don't know what this person's purpose was for doing that. I don't know. But the thing of it is, it doesn't matter what his purpose was, because I can't change what anybody else does. I can only change what I do. I can't change what's going on in anybody else's heart. I'm the one who has to cry out to the Lord to change my heart, because I recognize the wickedness in it. Each and every one of us. And that's what we need to do as we change our perspective, as we look at things from a different way. Lord, help us to teach us to examine ourselves. Teach us, Father, to draw close to you. Teach us to look in the mirror, through the mirror of your word. I've told people over the years about the situation. Hey, do you want to go to? Nope. I don't do business with them because. Never thinking, never realizing that was something stirred, locked in my heart that needed to be let go. Each and every one of us will have opportunities, have times where when we change our perspective, we'll look back and say, oh man, why did I do that? Why did I allow that to go on in my life? Praise God. Psalm 119, beginning with verse 33, says, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away my eye from looking at worthless things, and revive me in your way. Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. The psalmist says, Lord, I need your help to walk through this life. I need your help to draw close to you. Teach me your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I will keep your law. Lord, teach me. Lord, guide me. Do we cry out to the Lord for a changed perspective? Lord, help me to see things through your eyes. Help me to understand what's going on from the perspective of the one who sees the end from the beginning. Lord, as I go through a difficult time, as I go through turmoil, help me, Lord, not to get bound up in what the turmoil is, but rather to keep my eyes fixed and focused on you, because I know you're going to bring it through. That you don't waste anything. That even my tears are bottled up. God, you even save my tears. Do we focus on the Lord? Do we seek His face? Do we ask Him to continue to teach us and guide us? Because we know that we need Him through it all. No matter what our circumstances are, no matter what is going on, we need God's guidance and God's direction through it. In Romans 8, beginning with verse 1, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be." That change of perspective. When we walked in the flesh, we walked in a carnal mind, not understanding the things of God, couldn't grasp, couldn't understand any of it. Being contrary to the ways of God, more interested in our own comfort, in our own pleasure, in our own preferences. But when we learn to walk in the Spirit, when we change our mind about what we want to do, when we start saying things like the psalmist said, "Teach me your ways, Lord, teach me your statutes, teach me your laws, teach me your commandments, help me to draw close to you." When we start doing that, when we change our perspective to go from the carnal mind to following, walking after the Spirit, being led by the Spirit of God, "Lord, teach me, Lord, guide me." It changes the way we look at things. It changes the way we understand things. It changes the way we behave. It changes the way we communicate with other people. As we draw closer to the Lord, as we submit ourselves to the Lord, He's not going to bring, or in my experience, He hasn't changed everything, made me perfect all at once. To be honest, He hasn't made me perfect in 57 years. But He's working on me. It is such a blessing to be convicted by the Holy Spirit. I don't know that I can... If you understand it, you understand it. But if you don't understand it, I don't know that I could ever fully, completely explain it to you. But I was so blessed yesterday. I was in the shower, getting ready to face the day, and all of a sudden that came back to me. And all of a sudden I got convicted for holding this person, holding a grudge against this person for 20 years. For one thing, it's a pride buster, which I don't know about you, but that's always a good thing for me, because I struggle with pride. People look at me and say, "Why?" Well, beyond that, I struggle with pride. It's an issue. It's been an issue in my life. Paul says, "I count not myself to have obtained, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things that lay behind and reaching for those things ahead, I press toward the mark of the goal of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Paul says, the things that are behind me that were holding me back, I turn my focus away from them and I focus instead on Christ. But Paul said, "I don't count myself to have obtained. I haven't made it. But I keep pushing to have God just stir in my heart that yesterday there's the grief and the guilt of having held it for 20 years. But there's also the grace and mercy that God has brought it out and says, it's time. Lay it down. It's time. Repent. It's time. Change your perspective. God changes our perspective as we walk according to the Spirit, as we draw close to Him. In 1 Corinthians 2, beginning with verse 9, says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him." Praise God. In other words, we can't even imagine what God has in store for us. We went to see the movie on Friday. I can only imagine. Those of you listening online, if you haven't seen it, or those here, if you haven't seen it and you have the opportunity, go. It is amazing. But according to this scripture, we can't even imagine what God has in store. The best we can imagine, as wondrous as it is not going to come close. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the things of man except the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may know the things that that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in word which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Paul again is saying, changing our perspective. Not from the perspective of the world, not from the perspective of the Spirit of man, but of the Spirit of God working in us. Final passage of Scripture. One we're all familiar with. I know prayerfully we're all familiar with all of them. But what did Solomon ask for? Everybody remember? Here's God's response to Solomon, 1 Kings 3, beginning with verse 11. Then God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing, and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked for riches for yourself, nor have asked for the life of your enemies, but you have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I have given you that which you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings of all your days. So if you will walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David, walked, then I will lengthen your days." Solomon said, "Lord, give me wisdom and understanding. Lord, the tasks that are ahead of me are too great. I cannot do it on my own. I need your wisdom and I need your guidance." And it pleased the Lord. And he said, "You didn't ask for riches. You didn't ask for length of days. You didn't ask for the life of your enemies. You asked for wisdom and understanding to do the task that I have placed before you. And because of that, I'm going to answer your prayer and also give you extra blessings, give you things you didn't ask for." So many times we read something like that and it's like, hey, there's a good way to get good things from God. But Solomon's heart was, "I can't do this on my own. I need you." Is that the cry of our heart? Lord, lead me. Lord, teach me. Lord, guide me. Lord, give me your perspective on things. Lord, help me to walk in ways that are pleasing to You. Lord, help me to be a blessing to the people around me. Lord, help me to understand and to see the needs that are going on around me. Lord, help me to... Help me, Father, just to walk in ways that please You. Help me, Lord, just to show Your love. Help me, Father, to see the need. Help me, Lord, to perceive the things that are going on. Help me, Father, to be a blessing. Help me, Lord, to show Your love. Is that the cry of our heart? Lead me, Father, by Your Spirit. Let me not be led by the spirit of man. Let me not be led by the wisdom of man. But let me be led, Father, by Your wisdom and by Your Spirit and by Your understanding. Guide me in Your ways. For You've called me to be an ambassador. You've called me to be a light to the people around me. Is that the cry of our heart? Lord, give me Your perspective. Amen. Father, we just come before You, thanking You, Lord, for Your word. Thanking You, Father, that even as we read in Job, that wisdom doesn't automatically come with age. Wisdom doesn't even automatically come with experience. But Lord, You are the one who gives wisdom. So Father, we pray for Your wisdom. We ask, Father, for Your understanding. We ask, Lord, that You would teach us and guide us. Father, that we might see things from Your perspective and not from our own. From the perspective that sees the end from the beginning. From a heart led by Your Spirit. From the mind of Christ teaching us Your ways. Father, that You be glorified in our hearts and in our lives. We thank You, Father, for conviction. We thank You, Father, for Your direction. We thank You, Father, that You are not yet finished with us, Lord, but You are continuing to work and changing us from glory to glory. That each new day, Your tender mercies are fresh and new. That each moment is a new opportunity, Father, to draw close to You, to be in communion with Your Spirit, to be touched and be changed. That You be glorified in our hearts and in our lives. Father, we give You the praise. We thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.